You and Ella Russell and Sister Russell are vacationing, which is a good thing to do. I'm glad to see they're able to do it. Ella Thompson was gone a couple weeks ago, and Ella Sewell was out. Last week I was gone. Ella Jenkins was up in South Carolina last year. That's a good thing to do. You need to learn to, come away and spend some time with family and friends. I'm going to 1 Peter again tonight, and also I'm going to look at the scripture in Romans. And I won't be long tonight. I want to encourage everybody, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, Amen. Peace, and joy. And, you can say, in the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy from the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God. The Holy Spirit comes in to encourage us and to remind us. And it is through Him that we have great faith.
Amen.
And, that we have boldness in God. It's because of the Spirit of God. And He's the one that reminds us of the great reward that we have in God. And that why we should be saved and what we are. And I was talking about Peter on Tuesday night. And 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, which it talks about both of the pastors. It talks about two things. It talks about the pastors, first of all, and what they should do. And talks about the saints as well. Tonight I'm going to deal with the second part of it, with the lower part of it, where the saints are concerned. I want us to know something that, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I talk about forgiveness for a lot. And that stays on my mind a lot because this is one of the things if people in the church don't learn to forgive one another, churches don't stay together.
Amen, that's right.
People go away mad.
Yeah.
And people sit in the church mad, and it's a two-way street because people leave mad, and the people in the church feel like they left mad good, and they don't forgive either. Like that solves your problem.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Jesus told them when he was leaving, he said the first commandment. He was asking, I think he asked Simon and one of them, Nicodemus and one of them, what was the first commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. And he said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor, love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, you have to learn to get along with people. And many of the scriptures that we preach and teach, we don't really get a full understanding of them because we don't. It's hard to preach something when you want to preach around it because you don't plan on doing it.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
You know, Amen. If you want to preach it so that you're not required to answer to it yourself. And so preach around it. And I'm finding, as I look at churches today, the churches that are full of people and people are being drawn to, they're being drawn to love churches. You can say what you want to.
Yes.
About how much Holy Ghost they have or don't have. You can sit back and make all the judgments you want, but people go places where they can get along with people,
yes.
And they get out of places. I don't care how deep you sound. I don't care how much you say you're on your way to heaven, and you probably are, but people tend to get away from mean people, and I don't blame them. There's some mean people I wish I had gotten away from a long time ago myself. But you keep thinking that you're suffering for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Putting up with mean people is not just suffering for Christ's sake. Not if you have an opportunity to be someplace else. And people these days are showing how much they will put up with people who won't. If people who will not respect other people, and I'm not saying, and you got to get out of the notion. We must come out of the notion that in order to be righteous and to be holy, we have to be mean.
Yeah.
We got to get out of that. We got to get out of the concept that in order for us to really be on our way to heaven, we have to be so strict and straight-laced that we can't, tolerate anything anybody. What we cannot tolerate is sin, but other than that, you can tolerate almost anything anybody does.
Yeah.
Because God tolerates everything other than sin.
Yes, He does.
I'm not asking anybody to tolerate sin. Matter of fact, if we are doing what He says in Peter and feeding the flock, one of the things we do is we feed them so that they don't eat bad stuff.
Yeah, yes.
If you don't give your children nutrition and you don't feed them well, they'll nibble on candy and snacks and stuff all day, or stuff that's bad for them.
Yes.
And in the house of God, if we don't nurture the people and give them the good word of God. The good word of God. And believe it or not, there are more do's in the word of God than there are don'ts, but we seem to dwell on the don'ts. In many cases, I look at, as Peter says about feeding the flock, I look at it and I realize that a lot of the elders can't feed the flock with good things because they don't have them themselves. You know, it's like the abused child that becomes an adult and becomes an abusive adult because
that's all they know. That's all they know, that's right.
You know, and that's the way my daddy raised me, that's the way I'm going to raise you. Well, my mother used to say, two wrongs don't make it right. I'll go one better than that. 2,000 wrongs don't make it right.
Yes.
If you're wrong, you're just wrong. And somewhere along the line, it might have worked for you because they didn't know any better and whatever. But you have to let the Spirit lead you out of that, because God is concerned about having people not only be saved but remain so.
Yes.
And He's concerned about having churches where people can come and be fed. And so people are answering with their feet. If you know, I heard the saying a long time, move your feet, you lose your seat. And a lot of people are saying, here, take it.
Yeah.
You want this seat? Here. You
can
have it.
Yeah, yes.
I am moving my feet, intentionally so. I'm going someplace where, you know, I can be comfortable and they can tell me about God without being threatened all day.
Yeah.
It's happening whether you like it or not. And so, you know, for us, when I read the Word of God, I see why. And it tells you that in the Word of God, because Peter, when he talks about this, he goes down to 4, he says in 2, he says, feed the flock. That's the part for the pastors. He said, pastors, you need to feed the people or nourish the people in the Word of God. Not just give them you. Give them what builds them up and makes them strong in the Lord. You know, feed the flock of God. Taking the responsibility, the word oversight says, taking the responsibility for their growth, not just the responsibility for the building or the organization or whatever, for the growth of the people, taking responsibility for their growth.
Yes.
My house is there for us to live in. If there was no Paula and there was no Paula and Charles, and at this time Chandra and Timaeus, my house, we would need a house.
Yes.
The house is there for us to live in. We keep the roof from leaking so we're comfortable and so forth and so on. The church building is here for us to grow in and to worship God. And it in itself must never become, it is a place of worship. It must never become the thing of worship.
Worship, yes, amen.
The pastor is here because he's the shepherd. He's feeding the flock, and he himself is being fed by God. He receives from God the substance, as it says in Corinthians in one place, and he gives him enough to give to someone else.
Yes.
And this is the way the church works. And then if we're going to nourish them, then we need to teach them the Word of God. And one of the things Jesus certainly taught the disciples was to love one another.
Love,
and
they,
not just in some superficial soap opera type love, but he taught them to love. He wanted them to love like God loves. And one of the biggest things about one of the main key points in God's love is its forgiveness, because this is why Christ died, so God could forgive us. He died so God could forgive us, so that we could be free from sin, our sins could be cleansed, and so we could have eternal life. We must never forget that. The major premise of the gospel is to be forgiven, and we can't skirt around it. And for years now, I've been trying to live with people who don't forgive, and I've been trying to excuse them in some sort of way, saying it needs to be so, this and whatever. But but I can't do that any longer. When you need to forgive people, you need to forgive them. And one of the main things that we have in the Word of God is in 2 Corinthians, and it talks about after this person is put out of the church, letting him come back. And I'll go there very quickly because that's not the main point of my lesson tonight, but I'll just go there for a moment. And it's in 2 Corinthians, probably about verse chapter 2 or so. 2. Wherefore I beseech you, 2:8, that you would confirm your love toward him. 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. In other words, everybody walked off and left him, wouldn't have nothing to do with him. So the contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. In other words, such an one would get to a point where they can't get back to God. It would just make them bitter, hating the church, which a lot of people already do. Not just this church. People hate church and hate church in general. It's coming to a point where people now are. I was talking to one person in the neighborhood. He said, "Well, I'd like to come to the church." He says, "But my wife really prefers to watch on TV." And supposedly they grew up in church, and I suspect the reason why she wants to watch on TV is because when you're saying something she doesn't want to hear, she just changes the channel.
Right, that's right.
And I myself have been a big critic of that, saying, "Hey, you know, like you need to come to church so you can't change the channel." But now I'm starting to realize why people change the channel.
Yes.
And you know, because you can't make anybody be saved.
That's right.
This is a lesson that we have to learn in God, that you're going to do anything in God, you must do of your own free will. Mm-hmm. The only sacrifice that is acceptable to God is that sacrifice that is made of one's own free will, whether it be time, money, or otherwise. Anything done of necessity, as the Word of God would say, or be of force or coerced, is not a suitable sacrifice to God. You can't even force me to repent. And that has to be done of my own free will. And this is something we must learn. And obviously other churches have learned it because they have a lot more people than we do. I'm not saying that we don't preach the Word of God. We have to do it. But we got to start preaching the Word of God, as it says in one place, but preaching the Word of God in love. That's what it says in Ephesians. And I'm sure it says that. And maybe I need to give you that one too. But he says in this, "Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him." And 9, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. "But to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things." Since you are obedient in speaking in tongues and doing everything else, are you obedient in forgiving?
All right. Amen.
Is that part of your regimen?
Yeah.
And you want to know if you've forgiven somebody or not? I don't know if I think I forgave them. Do you want something? Are you still waiting for something to happen to them? Because if you are, then you haven't forgiven.
That's right.
You can say what you want, but when you forgive, the debt is paid.
Yes. Yeah.
Vengeance is satisfied. That's why God writes in one place. He tells us, beloved, not to be given to wrath, but give place to wrath. Vengeance is mine. I will pay, says the Lord. When you forgive, the debt is paid. And I talk about it a lot because I've come to this point in my life as an old person, and I look around and I see what is the hindrance and what's really keeping us, and I realize we're some mean people. Send this tape to anybody you like. Preach me.
Yes.
You know? And everybody is like, they're like, it's almost like they're like chickens. And chickens will jump on the littlest one, and all of them will peck on it.
Yeah, yes.
And when people preach me, everybody tries to figure out who they're preaching against, and then everybody turns on that person.
Yeah.
That's not God.
That's not God, no.
Is he talking about the Holy Ghost? No, I'm talking about the person preaching, and the whole person preaching is not the Holy Ghost.
Amen, that's right.
Holy Ghost is always right.
Yes.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So he says in this, concerning this person, and he told them, he says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also." He says, when you forgive them, I forgive them.
Yeah.
I don't even have to worry about it. I'm done. They're all right with me. "But if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it, I, in the person of Christ." He says, because when I forgive people, it ain't just me just forgiving them, just to say, okay, I forgive them. I do it because that's what Christ would have me do.
Yeah.
I gave it because that's what Christ does. And I do it like Christ does it.
Yeah.
You got to remember the very last act that Christ does towards man on the cross is he asked the Father to forgive him.
Forgive him, yes.
Those are among his last words, forgive them.
Yes.
And he says, to them, lest Satan should get an advantage of you. Is that what he says?
Yes.
No, he doesn't. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Everybody say us.
Us.
But we were not ignorant. We are not ignorant of his devices. And we preach it like it's lest Satan will get an advantage of you. We preach it like, hey, forgive the man. Otherwise, you know, somebody have him. No, he says, if you don't learn to forgive, Satan will get advantage of us.
Yes.
Of us. We don't learn to be a forgiving people. The devil will get advantage of us. us. And yes. us includes me.
Yeah.
And us includes you.
Yes.
He says if we don't learn how to forgive these people and not play games with it, so that, you know, 10 years later you're still hearing about it.
Yep.
15 years later you're still hearing about it.
Yeah.
Did something last summer and every time you go preach, you're still preaching about it. You know, and you run, and you're accusing everybody. Just become the devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Because you're accusing everybody. So, are you talking about the Holy Ghost? No. The Holy Ghost is not the accuser of the brother. And I don't care out of whose mouth it comes.
Yes, yes.
I know what the Word of God says. The Holy Ghost is not the accuser of the brother.
That's right.
The devil is.
The devil is. That's right.
And when you can just level accusation upon accusation upon accusation, oh. If something needs to be taken care of, because it says feed the flock, right?
Yes.
Oh, if something needs to be taken care of, then the Bible says you're supposed to come with two or three people and consult and do these things and take care of it.
Yeah.
And do what you need to do. Even in some cases it says rebuke before all, but it doesn't say rebuke him all year, every year for the next 15 years. It doesn't say that. You don't get a chance every time you get up. Remind everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Yes.
Oh no, whom the Holy Ghost, because when the Holy Ghost forgives someone, then God blots it out, and the person who remembers it is Satan. He's the accuser of the brother, and we're wondering why it stays so vivid in your mind. I forgave him, though. Then why does it always keep coming up?
Yeah, that's right.
When God forgives, it's done. It's over. And since I'll finish this since I'm out here. And since sin is something that God doesn't like to see, even when you pray a prayer of repentance, it's not a sweet savor. It's an unsweet savor, because even though God receives it, it's a prayer that he doesn't want to have to receive, because he'd rather you not sin.
Yeah, yes.
And since even from little children we've been taught about Jesus on the cross, when he says, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And we've been taught that God, you know, he senses that God is not with him, because God looks upon the sin that he's bearing, and God doesn't want to see the sin that he's bearing.
Yeah.
Then why do you keep bringing it up?
Yeah.
You know, why must you reminisce about that? Because while you're doing that, you're not encouraging anybody. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have your fan club with you. They just whooping and hollering. Carrying on. You know, they're just whooping and hollering. They're just so glad that, you know, they're grinning in your face because they don't want you to talk
about them.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's the key to that. And if you're out there and you're not a liar, you know it's true, because you sit up and grin and whoop and holler. And you're just so glad not talking about you. Just don't come in my direction. And you just go along with it. Amen. Say amen. Say amen. 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 I stopped doing that a long time ago.
Yes.
Can't go with that any longer. Because the Holy Ghost is righteousness, peace, and joy. And Peter says in this, when he says, lest Satan should get taken advantage of us, both, you know, when you don't let people off the hook, the devil gets the advantage of them, because they tend to leave the church.
Yeah.
And then the devil gets advantage of the people in the church, because they start to feel so self-righteous about themselves.
Yeah.
And they, without realizing it, become very staunch in what they're in, and they stop forgiving.
Yeah.
And they think it's right not to talk to someone. They think it's right not to, ever speak to someone and to shun someone. And they think it's right that if somebody somebody else is against, if they sin, they think it's right not to clap or accept. They go along with your unforgiveness. They become a part of it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it makes the church become someplace that people don't want to be.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's difficult to invite people, because if you invite them, you already know that they, the likelihood that they're going to get a bright and shining sermon is not likely. They're going to get whatever, you know, you've been ranting and raving and pretending you like. You need to stop pretending you like that, because you aren't helping the church. You need to stop pretending that you like it when people just get on a rant and rebuke for hours.
Yeah.
What you need to do is have enough nerve to sit down.
Yeah.
I've learned to do that. You need to stop going along with them and hooping and hollering, and you need to stay out of their prayer line.
Yeah.
They get up and preach with those kind of sermons, and you need to let them know, hey, look, I don't go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
because it doesn't do the church any good. Mm-hmm. People are supposed to come in every service we have. It is supposed to be an invitation for someone to be saved.
Yes.
There needs to be an atmosphere. I use the word, they like using the word today. But there needs to be this atmosphere of worship. There needs to be this sense of worship in the spirit, so that anytime we have a service, something can be said that someone's mind should change and they should come to God. And if all you do is talk about me or somebody else or whatever, and all you did was all that, where was the invitation for anybody to be a part of that? So he says in Peter, he says, feed the flock. One, because it's dangerous, as Paul writes in Corinthians. And the other thing is, he says, and likewise ye young, because he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear for feeding the flock, you shall receive a crown of righteousness that fadeth, a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, the people who have to listen to the pastor preach, submit yourself to the elder, yea, all of you. Be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Everybody in the building is supposed to have respect for the other person. You don't have a right to get in the pulpit and disrespect me or anybody else.
That's right.
I don't have a right to get in the pulpit and disrespect you. It's the wrong thing to do. It is not God.
It's not God.
It says for everybody there to be subject one to another. In other words, that means that everybody there is supposed to give each other due respect.
That's right.
Everybody there is supposed to respect everybody in their place. And for somebody to cheer on people who are not doing that, you don't know the word of God.
Yeah, that's
right. In a good church where people are, if we can ever get this church back to a good church and get people in here, it will be a friendly church.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Learn our lesson about all these, you know, kill rope, tie them up and kill them. Even 10 people in here saved, that's all right, but they really saved. I ain't got the spirit. They got the Holy Ghost. Somebody else got 1,000, and all of them have the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, amen.
Well, that's the best you can do.
Best you can do.
So he says it is, he says, submit yourselves one to another. Younger, be subject to yourself to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And he says in another place, if a person be overtaken with a fall, let him that is spiritual restore them. Spiritual restore them. Spiritual restore them. Spiritual restore them. That means if you can't restore people, you're not very spiritual. If you can't restore people, you're not very spiritual. And you sure can't restore anyone if you can't get people saved to start with.
Amen.
So he says in this, God resisted the proud. He didn't say he resisted the proud young people. Mm-hmm. He resisted the proud, period.
Period, yes.
I don't care if you're 120, he resisted the proud.
Yes, amen.
Humble you. Everybody's supposed to give respect one to another. You don't get old enough or get a position as high enough where you don't need to give any respect to anyone else. You don't even the thought of, I can say whatever I want to, and I don't apologize, you're a very disrespectful person.
That's right, you're right.
And in today's society, with people being what they are, they have enough junk in the world. When they come to the house of God, they are ready for nice, quiet, calm.
Yeah.
I don't mean we can't sing music and dance and do all this, but soulically, in their souls, they have wrestled all week and fought in a dog-eat-dog world and heard all the politics and the news and everything else. The last thing they want when they come in the house of God is more strife.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
The last thing anybody wants when they come in the house of God is to be among a bunch of angry, riotous people.
Yes, that's right.
That's why James told him one place, he says, you're always warring.
Yes.
So that's why you can't get a prayer through. That's what he told him.
Yes.
He says, because you're always warring.
Yeah.
And then, he says, and then when you do pray, you're praying because whatever faction you're warring with, you want God to take that side.
The camera just went off.
That's what he means when he says you ask amiss. Did I lose something?
The camera went off.
Oh, that's okay. Turn it back on. He says in this, you're always warring. You know, I guess it's just a big camera. Yeah. Just pull it out now. Pull the top down. Thank you, Sean. He says you're always warring. And he says you pray a prayer and it doesn't get answered. He says because you just have the wrong mind.
Yeah.
That's what he means when he says asking amiss, consuming on your own lust. He says you want prayer because you want me to do what you want.
Yes.
Consuming on your own lust doesn't mean you want to put it on a car, or put it on a house. It means you want God to do what you want done.
You're fine. It's
trying to turn the camera back on.
Just unplug it. Don't worry about it. From the camera. Just take
it
off the camera. Thank you. No, you just pull it up. There you go. You want God to do what you want Him to do.
Yes.
Always.
And as long as you're not seeking peace and ensuing it, then you want God to take one side or another when all of you say you have the same Holy Ghost. How are you at war?
Yes, yeah.
So then he tells, so Peter writes, he says to the elders, he says, you need to be shepherds of the flock. You need to feed them and keep them from eating weeds that are not good for them. Keep them out of the poison oak and all those things, the hemlock and things that will kill them. You need to guard them and watch over them and make sure they're nourished. He says, because casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. In other words, he says, you need to go to God and make sure that everybody in the building, that when they're sick, when they're ill, whatever is going on, all these things go to God, not sit back and call each other and talk about them and laugh about them and go on a cruise and laugh about all the saints and do all those kinds of things. It shouldn't come back and report. They were on the cruise ship just talking about everybody.
Yeah.
My Lord, what kind of shepherd are you?
Yeah.
Got your little crew of people that you circle, friends that you have? What's, you know, all of us are supposed to be in your circle.
Yes, that's right.
We're all sheep.
Yes, yes.
And whether people know it or not, you know what will cause the flock to die out? Not because wolves come in and steal them. Your flock will die out if the sheep stop having sheep.
Yes.
Your flock will die out if the sheep stop producing sheep.
Yes.
If you have a bunch of sheep who no longer reproduce, your flock will get smaller and smaller. Because shepherds don't produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep.
Yes.
And if you have a flock of sheep who are so malnourished that they can no longer conceive and no longer bring in sheep, no longer produce sheep, your flock will die out.
Yes.
And the way God has created us, when animals, and you know, you can tell, you know, in some of these other countries, you wonder how they do it, because supposedly in time of famine, women are not supposed to be able to conceive.
Mm-hmm.
Animals, when they're starving, don't conceive.
Yeah.
And when sheep are starving, they don't reproduce.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to feed them so that they reproduce. And and what we're fed on is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And if you're, and it's like the gruel that they fed them in Vietnam. You get a whole bowl of it, but there was no nutrition in it.
Yeah.
It was just a pumpkin soup. And you know, and they could give it to you, but you didn't gain any weight off of it. You weren't nourished. And so you can just preach all day long, but people aren't being fed.
Amen.
So he says in this down here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking around to whom he may destroy, devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, we're supposed to identify with one another, and this word that we're supposed to have empathy.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to understand what other people are going through. And we're supposed to say, well, you know, this is why you can't be the sort of person. Sometimes people talk about me and they say to me, well, Bishop Smith, you really stepped on my toes. Well, I have a new saying for people who say I stepped on their toes. Move your feet.
Move your feet.
Yeah. Move your feet.
Yeah.
Stop sticking them out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Some yes, people, right. Everywhere you go, you know, you're in a crowd and you only have so much space. And I'm not being hard by saying I'll step wherever I want. That's not the point. Mm-hmm. The point of it is why are your feet always someplace where they can be stepped on?
Yes.
Why, Billy? Why is it that your toes are already always there to be stepped on? We can't move without stepping on your toes. Everywhere it offends. We're supposed to be able to get along. That way the church grows. He says the devil is a roaring lion, just like in the other one. When he told the man, he says, if y'all don't forgive this man, devil's going to take advantage of you. If y'all don't stop being so mean, devil's going to take advantage of you. Yep. Devil's going to take advantage of us. And he said of us. In other words, the work we're trying to do, the devil will stop us.
Yes.
10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The God of all grace, if we will do what God would have us do, after we have suffered for a while. And I want to take pain out of this suffering. I want to take pain out of this suffering. And I want you to see the word suffering meaning enduring. After you've learned how to conduct yourself in the house of God, after you've learned to be subject one to another, after you've gone through the things that we need to do in order for the house of God to grow, after we've done that, he said the Lord will settle you. And after a while, you know, you get to a point where you find out you're just settled and life is easy. This is what's so terrible about strife. You know, strife is like, strife stirs up mud all the time. It never lets the dust settle.
Yeah.
Soon as it seems like it's going to be a peaceful day, the striving one comes in and stirs up everything. And some people love that. That's not a place where people want to grow, and it's not a place where people want to start. That's not the atmosphere that people want to come into. Like I said, after they have warred all week and have endured, you know, now suffered with people all week, everything that goes on in the world, and had jobs and bills and mortgages and sickness and friends, and you know, just name it. When they come into the house of God, what people are looking for is what God gives, and that's peace.
Peace, yes.
They want to glorify God because in that is hope.
Yes.
They want to hear about God.
Yeah.
When I come to church, I want to hear about God.
Yes, amen.
My God, if I want to hear about people fighting, I'll turn on Fox News. I want to hear about God.
Yes.
You know, and you know, so well, it goes on in here. It's in the house, but let God take care of it.
Amen. Yes.
Or you call them to wherever you need to go and talk to them. But I paid my money, came all the way up here to wherever I am. I want to hear about God. I need a blessing when I come in. Don't settle your affairs, your wars.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to be fed the gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
And for God's sake, anybody we bring in new can't invite family because God, you don't know what they're gonna get. And you like for them to like the church that you're in because you put so much time in it, so much life in it. You know, you don't want to be embarrassed to death. So you just don't bother to invite them.
Right, that's right.
If they, you know, once upon a time was a time when family come and you say, come on, you got to go to church with me because we loved it and it was just great. Mm-hmm. Now when family comes, you say, well, where are you going? We're going to church. So, well, we'll be here. You get back and say, okay. You don't care whether they come or not.
Yeah.
You're not that crazy about coming yourself. How are you going to get people saved in that?
Amen.
He says, but the God of all grace has called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After you learn to deal with people and forgive people, and it'll strengthen you, and you get rid of all the weights, and then you can go out and invite people to come, and you don't worry about what service they come to. They're going to get a blessing no matter when they show up.
Yeah.
The word of God is going to be preached no matter what. They glorify God. If someone walked in here tonight, you know what I tell them? Jesus saves.
Amen.
And the Spirit would turn toward them and see if he couldn't minister. But if I've already made up my mind, I'm going to come in here and just do whatever. Mm-hmm. I leave no room for him. Yeah. I want to look at Romans, the last scripture tonight, when he's talking about suffering. Because Paul wrote in Romans 8 and 18, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time," and the reason why I'm tying this in is because getting along with people in church is not hard. Mm-hmm. We've made it hard.
Yes.
We've made it difficult.
Yes.
So how have we done that? We've made it difficult because we've tolerated people doing it.
Yes.
We've said amen to things we shouldn't say amen to.
Yes.
We've jumped up, hooped, and hollered the things that we should have just sat there and let fall to the ground. Mm-hmm. We've ran down in prayer lines after people have dogged people out and treated them like dirt. And we've gone along with it. Yeah. And that's where we are. Yeah. That's where we become. And we're running out of sheep to reproduce sheep.
Yes.
We're running out of sheep to reproduce sheep. When they come in the house of God, we need to feed them the word of God and the love of God and the peace of God and the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the glory of God, the salvation of God and all that is God, the eternal life of God, the peace that comes from God, the forgiveness that comes with God, the blood of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension of Jesus Christ, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the move of the Spirit, the settling of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. There's so much for people to be in God for.
Yeah, yes.
When they come, we need to let them know there's hope for you. There's a blessed hope that we have. His name is Christ Jesus. Our hope is in him.
Yes.
In our life, if our, you know, things get better in this life, and there's a life that's better than this to come.
Yes.
There's hope in Christ.
Yes.
It's good for you to be here. We need to say like Peter said on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said it's good for us to be here.
Yeah.
When he saw Jesus and Moses and Elijah talk together, he said it's good for us to be here.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
need to come and say, I'm glad I came.
Yeah.
I heard the word of God. I'm glad I came. Not leave. And you know, when you see them on Monday morning after you've invited them, you don't even want to ask them how they felt. You don't even want to even mention that they were there.
Yeah.
You might say, well, thank you for coming. You might, but you probably just let that not even, you just kind of act like they wasn't even there. Because you know what they got.
Yeah.
This is why he says in this, when he says in this, he tells us, he says, after that you've suffered for a while, after you've endured for a while, after you've gotten in here, if you feed this flock, if you do the things you're supposed to do, if you're a subject one to another, he says, you'll learn to be, he says, that's going to strengthen you. Strengthen you how? In God.
God, yes.
Settle you. The peace of God comes to make you strong. You'll be established as someone who can reproduce.
Yeah.
Someone that people can come in and walk through the doors and say, you need a blessing? Go to that church.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, I heard about that church.
Yeah.
You don't want to go down there.
Yeah.
That's our problem, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. Too many people have heard and not the right thing.
Yeah.
We have some good people in the house of God, but you know what they do? They don't represent themselves.
Yes.
You know what we need to stop doing? If you're a good person in the house of God and you love God, you need to stop standing up to things, standing up and approving of things that are not God.
Amen.
If you love the Lord and you love the house of God and the worship of God, the peace of God, I'm not saying you need to go in with a sign and protest and march and do all that kind of stuff, but I am telling you this. You need to stop saying amen when you don't agree.
Amen. That's right.
And you need to stop being afraid.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody make you afraid. You don't go along with me, you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. No, it's not the Holy Ghost that I'm not going along with, this is just you.
Yes.
Just you.
Big difference, yes.
Yeah, you know, and what we do when we go along with that, we become like, I was teaching the other week, We become like the Jewish believers. It said in one place about Jesus, it says many rulers and leaders believed in Jesus, but he said they wouldn't acknowledge him.
Yes.
Because they were afraid of being put out of the synagogue because they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. And we have a lot of good people in the house of God. And they know that a lot that goes on, they don't go along with it, but they won't stand up. And they won't voice their opinions because they're afraid of being put out, being sanctioned, being sit down, being all these things that go on. And so then we can't get new people in the house of God because the atmosphere in the house of God is one where people don't want to be there to start with.
Yeah.
Well, I go because I love to go and I love to be there, and you're part of the problem. If you have not seen how others suffer around you, you're sitting in the middle.
Yeah.
You're not going through anything. You're not being talked about.
Yeah.
I'll let you on a little secret. You know why you're not talked about? Because they don't know who you are.
Yeah.
They barely know your name.
Yeah.
But if you were doing something in the house of God, they would know.
Know your name. Yes.
The devil doesn't bother people who aren't doing anything.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I want to encourage everybody tonight. The suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. This is what Paul writes. And learning how to put up with the person over here and forgive the person over here, it is worth it.
Yes.
What's not worth it is to keep on going along with this unforgiving crowd.
Yes.
You need to make up your mind tonight. Everybody standing. Make up your mind tonight. I'm not gonna be an unforgiving person. I'm not gonna put up with that any longer.
Yeah.
I am not going to go along with not letting people off the hook.
Yeah.
If God can let them off the hook, so can you.
Yeah, that's right, man.
I'm not gonna go along any longer with people who don't speak to people because of whatever reason they have.
That's right.
I don't have any reason not to speak to them. Why should I not?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go along any longer. I'm not going. You need to make up your mind. I'm not going to hear anything else about so and so and so and so.
Amen.
That's where we need to stand. I'm not going to listen anymore
about
this person or that person. If God hasn't brought it to me, then I don't need to know about it. As far as I'm concerned, they could have repented. The blood that washed me, washed them.
Same blood.
I'm still, if you're not careful, you're still remembering and accusing people of things that have been blotted out in heaven.
Yeah.
And the only person whispering in your ear and reminding you of it is certainly not God.
Amen.
Because when God blots something out, it is gone. We need to be careful. When you talk about, blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, blaspheming against God, you need to be very careful because much of the things that you talk about, when God blots them out, and people know how to repent.
Yes.
They don't, a lot of people don't leave churches because they don't know how to repent. They leave churches because after they repent, the church doesn't repent.
Right. Yes.
And the people in the church don't let it go. God lets it go.
Yeah.
But the people in the church won't let it go.
Yeah.
So they move to some place where they can have peace.
Peace, amen.
They listen to someone that when they come in, the best sermon to... I have 385 seats in here. If I had 385 seats in here, the best sermon I could preach is not 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that you don't need a fornicator's or not. No, that ain't the sermon to preach. The sermon to preach is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We'll get around to 1 Corinthians 6:9 later on in Bible study or someplace else. But tonight what you need to know is there is a washing.
Yes.
The scripture to preach tonight is come now. Let us reason together.
Yes.
So I know all of you done something, but you know what? God will forgive you.
Yes.
And then and then include yourself in the bunch because He has forgiven me.
Yes. Amen.
And whatever you have done, so I haven't done everything that everybody's done, but I've done some of the things that some of you've done. And God has washed me, and I'm free. Won't you be free tonight? You can still go to heaven. It's not too late. You're breathing. God will still give you eternal life. Come on out. Let the Lord redeem you. Let Him save you. Let Him lift you up. Some of you seem lost. Some of you are down. Some of you are just discouraged. Come out. The Lord will deliver you. That's the sermon to preach.
Yeah, yes.
That's what people come to church. They come to church to feel good about themselves.
Yes.
And God is here to make them feel good about themselves.
Yes.
Took me a long time to understand that too. You don't just come to church to feel good. You need to hear the word. That is the word of God. God stands here to make me feel good about myself. He Christ died on the cross of Calvary so I can feel good about myself. He shed his blood to wash me and cleanse me so I can feel good about myself. He takes away all my shame and all my sins and cleanses me and washes me so I can be all right. So I can have a hope of glory. So I can feel like I'm going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. God's on my side. I'm not suicidal and I'm not depressed and I'm not taking all the drugs it takes to battle depression and do all those things because God is taking care of me.
Amen. Yeah.
That's the lesson that people need to hear.
Amen.
Don't drag me 1,000 miles to, you know, for the you know, to be. I can watch wrestling match on Thursday night, boxing match on Friday night. I can always see war.
Yes.
It's peace I'm looking for.
Amen.
Everybody lift your hands. Father, we come before you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, you are our peace.
Yes.
Lord, you are our peace.
Yes.
Peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Sweet voice. Peace, oh God. Wash us and cleanse us. Put it deep within us, oh Lord. Sweep over our spirit. Take away a warring spirit and give us a spirit of peace, oh Lord. Lord, give us righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost so that, Lord, we can pray for the sick and they'll be healed, oh God. Lord, we can give a word to those that are downcast, oh God. They'll be lifted, oh Lord. Lord, our life that we live and the way that we move, Lord, will encourage others, oh God. Lord, when we walk in a room, Lord, the peace and the presence of God will enter in with us, oh Lord. Lord, let it be so, Lord, that the power of God, the peace of God by the Holy Ghost, Lord, would descend upon us, oh God, and keep us. Give us a forgiving spirit and a forgiving heart, oh Lord. Lord, make us such that we will never be on the side of strife. Lord, that we will never, Lord, cheer on anger. Lord, malice. No, Lord, let it be so, Lord, that we will see those things as you see them. And Lord, you see those things as sin. Lord, let us hate sin and love righteousness, O God. Lord, let the righteousness of God abound in us, O God. Lord, work among us. Lord, let us be subject one to another. Respect one another. For Lord, we all belong to you, O God. Lord, you are our Father. Lord, in the house of God, Lord, we are all subject one to another. Not one is better than the other, O God. Lord, for you are no respecter of persons. Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, bless the sick tonight, Lord, and heal them according to the word of God. Lord, the word of God that I preach tonight, Lord, according to your word. Lord, heal the sick tonight. Touch them in their bodies. Make them all the way whole, Lord. Remember Tiangela tonight, Lord. Sister Nancy tonight, Lord. Lord, the Elsies tonight, Lord, remember them, oh God. Lord, all those, Lord, who have any sickness or any affliction or whatever hinders, oh God, make a way. Lord, if they need a way made, Lord, make a way. Move on their behalf, oh God. Lift us up, oh Lord. Lord, cause your face to shine upon every one of us. Bless us in Jesus' name. Lord, keep Elder Russell and Sister Russell as they travel. Lord, as they take some leisure, time away, Lord, from their jobs, but not away from you, oh God. Bless the saints of God and add to us, Lord. Lord, add sheep to our flock. Lord, let the men be as flocks, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, and anoint us, all of us, Lord, who are leaders, to feed the people of God. Lord, to take the responsibility, oh God, and make sure, Lord, that they are nourished and brought up. Lord, that we speak the truth in love, oh God, according to the word of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, move among us. Give life to us through the Holy Ghost and through the word of God. And bless us. Cause us, oh Lord, to be, Lord, compassionate, oh Lord. Lord, take away all the meanness. Lord, all the envy and all the strife, oh God, all the bitterness, all the hatred, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, give us a loving heart, oh Lord. Create in us a clean heart, oh God. Renew within us a right spirit, oh God. In the name of Jesus, take away that hard heart, oh God. Lord, give us a heart to forgive and a heart, Lord, to love. Lord, like you, Lord, oh God. Lord, that we be nurtured in the word of God. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Bless all our little ones as they start back to school. Keep them from every disease. Lord, I pray, Lord, that camp your angels all around them. Let no hurt nor harm befall them, oh God. Lord, do for us as you did for Israel. Lord, you said you would not let any of those diseases or things in Egypt come upon them, because you're the Lord God that heals. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, for all of our young ones, all of us, Lord, in the house of God. Lord, you're the Lord God who heals. Lord, you said, I'm the Lord God that healeth thee, O God. Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, into thine hands, Lord, we commend our spirit. Lord, we lift our souls unto you, O God. And Lord, we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto you, Lord, holy and acceptable unto you, Lord, which is our reasonable service. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you tonight. May the Lord bless you real good. And thank God for you being here. We